invite you to turn with me to the gospel lesson for the day, which is from Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. You can find that on page 892 in your Red Bible, page 892. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You're into reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Wondrous God, we come today before you, finding ourselves in many parts of this story. Some are still on the shore, waiting for you to come. Others are in the boat, afraid. Others want to be near you, walking on the water. And yet you continue to still the fear in us. You continue to calm the waves for us. And for that, we are forever grateful for your love and your hope and your compassion. Help us to be the disciples you have created and called us to be, not only today on this Sunday morning, but each and every day. Calm our fears, O God, that we may get out of the boat and trust and walk toward you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. About 12 years ago, quite a controversy erupted over whether a school could require students to recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. The pledge contained the words, "One Nation Under God." Was this an unfair or illegal imposition of religion into a secular, non-religious America? Well, in the debate that was generated by this question, I heard more than one commentator defend the phrase "under God" by arguing that the phrase "under God" doesn't refer to a Christian God or a Jewish God or an Islamic God. It's a generic God. It's a God that you can make mean whatever you want it to mean. It's a recognition of a higher power, however you want to think of that higher power. And I remember thinking, why bother? In my opinion, what's wrong with much of our religion is that it's generic. We can make it mean whatever we want. For too many of us, God denotes a vague, nondescript, completely undemanding and unthreatening, but always at our selfish disposal, higher power, however you want to think of that power. And if that's all that God is, why bother? So who is Jesus? What does he look like? If you met him on the street, would you know him? When we have Holy Communion and use the the full liturgy, we repeat the acclamation, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We believe not only that Christ has come, but that on some day, in some mysterious way, he shall return. So here's my question. When Christ returns, would you know him? Would you be able to pass him on the street and say, yep, that's Jesus? How would you recognize him? Remember, we have no photographs of his physical appearance. There are no portraits. The beloved head of Christ by pop artist Warner Solomon is only a representation of one painter, how he thought Jesus might have looked. But who was he? How did he really look? In our scripture, a group of Jesus' own disciples had difficulty recognizing Jesus. They don't know that the figure who walks along the roaring waves is none other than Jesus. The disciples are in a boat. The wind was against them, driving them far out to sea. And at early dawn, just before light, they see a terrifying sight. A figure walking toward them on the sea. It's a ghost, they exclaim with one voice. But then the figure speaks to them. Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Presumably, even when Jesus spoke to them, they still weren't sure that it was Jesus. And it was then that Peter said something, well, that I find kind of strange. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Do you find that strange? Lord, if it is you, command me to risk my life, to tempt death, to walk out across 6,000 fathoms of dark, swirling, threatening sea. Lord, if it is you, command me to stick my hand into the fire. Lord, if it is you, order me to jump off a skyscraper. That is, if it is you. Don't you find it strange that Peter was uncertain that the voice from the waves was the voice of Jesus unless that voice commanded him, come on out, the water's fine. And that's how you will know Jesus. Jesus is the one who extravagantly and recklessly commands you to leave the safety of the boat and to step into the sea and to test the waters and show what your faith is made of. That's Jesus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me, goes an old gospel song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you in today's scripture to risk your life, to throw caution to the wind, to step out of the boat and defy death. We began this gospel story with Jesus calling a group of very ordinary people to drop their fishing nets, to leave their families, to venture forth with him on a perilous sea called discipleship. And first, he said to us, I'm going to teach you to catch people. And then, as we go along the journey with him, he said, now I'm going to teach you to carry a cross. Why then should we find it strange for one of those people now to say, Lord, if it is you, call me to get out of the boat and to walk on the waves? Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea, in our joys and in our sorrows, Christian, come and follow me. Isn't that how another old gospel hymn puts it? But in today's gospel, Jesus doesn't simply call us over the tumult. Jesus doesn't call us out of the tumult. No, in today's gospel, Jesus calls Peter into the tumult. Jesus calls Peter out of the boat and onto the waves. And Peter, on the basis of all his past experiences with Jesus, calls out, Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on the waves. I know a woman who runs a home for young mothers who have nowhere to go to have their children and no husbands and no family to step up and help them. The hours she works are long. The work is hard. There's never enough money. That woman's father is one of the most successful, and I mean rich, men in the state that they live in. He left her comfortably fixed in life. Now, why would she, at middle age, get mixed up in a ministry like this for unwed mothers? Who would have commanded her to do such a thing? I think you know. And the good news is that when Peter ventured forth, even though the going was rough, even though he almost sank and perished, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him just at the right moment. He helped Peter back into the boat. He stilled the wind and the waves, and Peter was saved. But if Peter had not ventured forth, had not obeyed the call to walk on the water, then Peter would never have had this great opportunity for recognition of Jesus and rescue by Jesus. I wonder if too many of us are merely splashing about in the safe shallows and therefore have too few opportunities to test and deepen our faith. The story today implies if you want to be close to Jesus, you have to venture forth out on the sea. You have to prove his promises through trusting his promises, through risk and venture. After graduation from the university, he gave 3 years of his life to teach America. And they put him, honor graduate of a great university, in one of the smallest and certainly one of the poorest little towns in the whole state of Mississippi. There he was paid just barely enough to live on. Now, what made him do it? What force drove him to this countercultural posture of giving to others rather than taking all he could get for himself? Something, it's hard to say just what, he said, made me think that this was what I ought to do. I felt a sense that I had a responsibility to give back to the community. So much had been given to me. I thought that I had a kind of obligation to reach out to the needs of others, to experience firsthand what it's like to be with the poor. Something just made me want to do this. That's what he told me. I think it is more accurate to say that someone made him want to do this. Someone, one whom he may not even know all that well. One for whom he may not even yet have a name, that one had beckoned him to step out of the boat, to risk walking on the water, to defy the forces of nature, to swim against the stream, to come closer to him, to venture out into the storm. I think you know who. The day after the horror of September 11th, I saw this couple being interviewed on the news. They were standing on the street before the wreckage of Ground Zero, obviously in great grief. Their daughter had perished in the bombings. And through tears, they shared their grief with a reporter. And the reporter, stammering, said to them, "Well, I know that you will be able to go to your place of worship this weekend. And there, maybe you'll find some consolation in your faith." And the grieving mother replied, "No, we won't be going to our place of worship this weekend because we're Christians. And we know what Jesus commands about forgiveness. And frankly, we're just not ready for that. It'll be some time before we'll want to be with Jesus." Now, there is a couple who knows, really knows what Jesus looks like and what being his followers look like. So, if in the dead of night, or maybe just before dawn, you should hear a voice calling your name, a strange voice calling you to rise up and to sail forth and to risk the storm and to defy the waves, there is a good chance that that voice could belong to none other than the one who is your very Lord and Savior. dare to call ordinary, not very spectacularly faithful people like us to such high adventure, to such risk and such struggle? I think you know who. Let us pray. Lord, call us forth. Call us to that life of risk and high adventure, that life called discipleship with you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our teacher. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.